live from the Bills' famous cheese spread studios in the downstairs pub, the Blockout Sports Pod is back on the air. From behind the master control desk in the aforementioned downstairs pub, I am your host and moderator for this evening. My name is Travis Carter. Over my right shoulder at the high top table is the big fella, the tuna, Country Matt Kemp, and bellied up to the bar is either the Indiana Pacers' newest number one fan, or it could be perhaps Inter Milan's newest number one fan. He is the fabulous one, Freddie Bender.
A little tight, ain't it, tuna?
Is that I didn't know if that was Inter Milan or you were just a big fan of Paramount Plus. I don't know. That is it.
I do like a little Yellowstone, but this is
Guy Ritchie has a new series on there, Mobland.
Okay, yeah.
Don't ever rub your nipples while you're looking at me. I feel like I've had this conversation with you before about doing that, and like it happened again.
Yeah, this is my Lauturo Martinez jersey, the golden ball or the golden boot winner of the World Cup.
What does the golden boot go to?
The person that scores the most goals.
Okay.
And he scored the game winning goal for Lionel Messi. Am I getting the tournaments mixed up, maybe?
The World Cup and the Euro Cup. Yeah,
and
the Euro Cup. Hey, yeah. Man, whatever.
But anyway,
this isn't the Euro Cup either. This is the
when he won it, you know. You had Spain and Spain won one, and Argentina won the other. But he is the also plays for Inter. Say it, Travis. Inter.
Sandman?
Milan?
No, you say the word better than me.
Milan?
Inter Milan, but you say...
Inter Milan.
No, but you said Inter...
Internacional.
Nacional. I can't say that as good as he does.
Internacional.
But yeah, they just... we'll get into that on Around the Horn, but had a nice win over my Barca team, so I like both teams. And you have a Miners t-shirt on.
Yeah, like...
That is
like the UTEP Miners.
The UTEP Miners.
The Texas Western Miners.
Yes.
That's right.
Yep.
Don Haskins.
Don Haskins.
Home of the Sun Bowl. And what was the mascot that was the Sun Bowl? Amigo Man.
Remember Amigo Man? Yes.
He had the head on fire as the sun.
And as we also said, Mike Price, the old legendary coach of
Mike
them,
Price
went to Bama for 2 months before he got caught at a strip club. I think one of their players also busted his leg open with a pickaxe.
Yes, that did happen.
They would do a ritual in the locker room with a pickaxe,
which probably is not done anymore.
Did they just hit it into some wood?
I don't know.
And
maybe
missed it.
There may have been like a rock in there with like a piece of gold in the middle, and you know every player got a swing on it at the end of it.
And Travis, I mean, Tuna's wearing his Dodger hat, as he should be. And, heck, I thought Travis might have some Pacer gear on, but I had to wear the hat for him today, baby.
Travis has a collar on. I think he went to a fancy dinner.
I think he's so high on life after the Derby and the Pacers win. He doesn't have to wear anything.
I wasn't going to not wear anything.
I appreciate that. Nobody needs that. Yeah, especially with Fred looking at us rubbing his nipples. It's a scene I don't want a part of, guys.
Yes, and we are certainly going to get into the Derby, the NBA playoffs. We've got some hockey talk. I wanted to wrap back around to the NFL draft since we didn't really have an opportunity to get into that last week. Before we get going, reminder, we are on social media.
Freddie's calling a timeout.
Oh, timeout?
What timeout? Okay. You're out of time. That's a technical.
Freddie's calling a timeout. We will be right back. All right, we're back. We had a little headphone excursion there, but we are back up and running. Want to remind everybody, we are on social media on Twitter and Facebook, Blockout Sports Pod. If you saw the Twitter on Friday for the Oaks, we gave Freddie's picks. Saturday, I didn't update his picks because with the scratches and so forth, I felt like we had a pretty good breakdown of the Derby. If you listened, we went over those picks several times, including what we would, what he would do if Baeza got into the race, which indeed he did. And
easy switch.
I'm going to let Fred, of course, talk about that. But I do hope that you guys followed what Freddie, his advice and his picks, because if you did, you at least cashed some tickets on the Derby. So with that being said, Kentucky Derby went off on Saturday. It was a wet, kind of drizzly, coldish type of day. And I really felt like, kind of to a certain extent, that it was a perfect capper to this particular Derby season, because this whole Derby season's been kind of weird, right? With Thunder being canceled.
Right.
The Steamboat race didn't even go off.
Well, and the Bell sprung a leak.
Yeah.
There was just a lot of...
John Ramsey was on there.
just a lot of kind of weird stuff, and the Derby going off the way that it did in a relative... Oh, Mike Tirico got sick.
Yeah, that was wild, man.
During the broadcast,
well, he didn't get sick. He had an allergic reaction. Right, he ate some of like Fred's peanut butter chili. And
did he really? I did not know this.
Yeah. He had an allergic reaction and was unable to do the broadcast.
Wonder what it was. What it was?
It was. I think, was it nuts?
I'm not sure. They just said at some point, and you know, Mike Tirico is like the consummate professional. Like he's going to get through it if he can get through it. And apparently, like just before they went on the air, he went to the other guy whose name escapes me, who did a great job, and said, "I'm not going to be able to do this. You're going to have to host the Derby." Well,
if you have an edible allergic reaction, you ain't talking. Trust me.
Yeah.
So, and if you've had any like mine, you're getting hooked up to IVs and everything else.
So it was just kind of a weird year, a weird Derby festival season. But
and Bill Mott sums it up for us.
We were treated to a very intriguing race, an entertaining race. And Fred, I just kind of want to get your thoughts about the Derby, how you felt it went. I think you pretty much nailed how you thought it was going to go, and your thoughts coming out of Kentucky Derby 151.
Well, I think we all in the Oaks, we all had to knock that out real quick. We knew Good Cheer was 6-for-6. He was the number one.
She
was the number one horse. We were all going to try to beat her with value, because I think she went off at, what, like 3-2 or something insane.
Yeah, it was pretty short.
So everybody had her on top. Tenma, you know, a lot of these horses, I mean, it was a good Derby, good win, but a great win for Good Cheer and Brad Cox. And Brad Cox had a really good week at the Derby. His main Derby horse was scratched, and his second one actually did well. So kudos to Good Cheer moving forward. But that was a great win. So we move on to Derby Day, and of course, as we thought might happen, the weather started to change on Wednesday, Thursday. We found out that Saturday was going to be wet, muddy, leading back from Friday.
I think
Oaks.
Like all week too, it was showing that it was going to be sunny and nice,
and then
just like bam. Thursday, it comes in, it's like, oh, it's going to rain.
And what a lot of bettors do that, and I'm not talking about, but just I'm not a handicapper, but people that look at the horses hard. And everybody has their own way, and any way works. You know what I mean? But if you, I think people tend to get worried and start looking for the mud horses, who runs good in the slop. Yes, that does matter. It does matter. But just for future note, in any time that a race turns sloppy or muddy, you go to the best horses, okay? You go to the horses that have won the most. There, that surface really doesn't change them too much. And
so what is like the whole thing with like mudders? Because you always hear when it's raining,
well,
you can make a lot of money on mudders.
Have breeding in them that are horses that ran on mud. Like Cole Battle had won twice in the mud.
And Flying Mohawk. Before,
and Flying Mohawk had won twice in the mud. And, you know, they weren't the best horses. So in that.
Well, Cobain was running on three shoes, man.
Yeah, he had his shoe. That was another weird thing. He had his shoe come off in the paddock.
They had a farrier out there banging on a horseshoe with like
yeah, they had
five
a
minutes for
I thought that was a cobbler out there. Was it? But old Lonnie Briley's out there like, can't believe it, can't believe it, you know. But I don't know, guys, if you are consider yourself a horseman, a you know, one of the people that go, oh, Rich Strike won. Psh, of course I didn't win. I had, you know, the best horses, the horse that looked the best all year. You know what? If you didn't win money on this Derby and you think you're a horseman, then you ain't got nothing. Okay? You should have won on this Derby.
I want to stop it. If you cash tickets on this race,
yeah,
then you know what you're doing. But there was no money to be made in
there,
this
well,
race.
There was no money, but quite frankly, actually, the winning horse paid $18. Mm. Second place, which was the favorite all week long, still paid $5 for second, and $8 on bays that came in.
$13.
Yeah, a $48 exact is not great. A 200
not
or,
the Derby.
A 48
that's what
on a dollar
gives the Derby juice.
Now,
is like
now,
it's a race that you
right.
can make some money.
You can, but a $462 try is not bad.
Well, it didn't pay that. Like
no, the
it was that's on like a $5
I
try.
Get it.
I think.
On a dollar try was $231.12.
Yes.
Yes. So, you know, not major money, but based on the horses that won. You will never get better odds on any three of those horses the rest of their career. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell
That's
you that
true.
Right now. You will never get Beza. You'll never get Journalism 4-1, Sovereignty 9-1, if he ever runs again, and Beza 16 or 17-1. And what I mean by that is
13-1 is what he ended up
at. 13-1, I'm sorry. But what I'm getting at is, I mean, dude, it was really there for the taking, not to make money, but I mean, if you like the three horses, then don't bet any of the other horses and go straight up on like a exact it and do it three times, do it four times like Travis did.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even do it as many times as Travis did on the exacta or the try. I did it once, and then I had 25 to win, 25 to place on Sovereignty. But
see, I call that
I put 100 on Journalism because
I
loved him.
Cover your bet. Like,
right.
You got other bets that are your bets.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
This is, if these horses come in, I'd feel stupid if I didn't bet it. So I'm going to do it, and it's going to be enough to cover all the money.
So you're
I
saying
spent
put
betting.
$5 on Flying Mohawk and win. You're going to win $300.
Yeah, but like I'm saying, like you wheel in like
if
your
wins.
Other long shots in your trifecta
I
bet with
you.
Those three.
Right.
And you want that combination of one of those longs to finish up there.
Absolutely.
Instead, it was the worst combination of the three
well,
horses.
Yeah.
Like you take the one, like you find
well,
like the three favorites and you
than
just throw one of them out. And Sandman was, I think, the one that most people eliminated right out of the gate.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Well, a lot of people bet Sandman for sure.
I don't know why.
I threw him out.
He was pretty.
Because there's a social media influencer who has a piece of him, who has like a bajillion Instagram followers or whatever.
Oh,
and
that'd
so a bunch of people, plus the Metallica piece, you know, like Hetfield – came or whatever. And I guess I didn't even realize this, but Metallica was playing a concert at Rupp Arena Derby night.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I guess he came to the Derby and then went up there to go to play his concert or whatever.
But, right.
But those kind of things will bring in a lot of, especially
well, of
now
course,
you can bet on your phones
thing,
and whatever.
The same thing with the one horse that was not American Promise was down to 9-8-1. He was a little buzz horse. To a certain extent, he really did look good. He was out of American Pharoah,
and the
I think
no,
you pay a
American
Dwayne
Pharaoh,
Lucas
justified,
tax also.
Yes, yes,
like
for sure.
Yeah,
a lot of people that are longtime Derby people will put some money on if Wayne Lucas has a horse.
Right,
Louisville's athletic director did, like just because it was Dwayne. Yep.
So Rodriguez gets scratched. I had him as my, so I had journalism as my number one, Rodriguez number two, Beza was my number three in this last show that we did, and Sovereignty number four.
Yep.
There's your top four. There's your top three right there. And I took Rodriguez out, moved Beza up, moved Sovereignty up.
Rodriguez took himself out, buddy.
And then I moved, Burnham Square up. So, and he was six. So I pretty much was all over it.
I was
kind of
upset about the Rodriguez being out once I found out he was named after Sisto Rodriguez.
Yes.
Which blew my mind.
Yeah, the guy from the
documentary. Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Searching for Sugar Man,
Searching
I believe is the
Sugar
name of
Man.
That.
Right.
Yep.
But like 10, 11, and 12 for me were Owen Almighty, American Promise, and Final Gambit. I have notes next to it says, bet long shots for the Super. Somehow I missed the Super. I have no earthly idea how. I don't know if I had a party. It was wild. I don't know if I missed it. But I've got 8, 18, and 21 on top, and I've got 3 and 9 on the bottom, and that is the Super. And I don't know how I missed Final Gambit in there. Of course, I had Burnham Square, and I even had Owen Almighty in there, who was fifth. But anyways, you should have won money if you don't know what you're doing, and you bet what we talked about.
That's
for
right.
Sure. I thought the horses that did run the best race were obviously the top three. I thought Burnham Square was troubled. A horse, as Tuna said,
Admire Daytona should be put
ran
in jail.
Right into him.
Jail.
Well, a Citizen Bull should be in jail too
to
for
jail.
Going
straight to jail.
How about right of that gate when Citizen Bull goes hard right and damn near jumped three horses?
I don't even know what that was about. There was several horses over the course of
Neoquals,
Friday and Saturday that left the gate and took hard rights. I didn't know what was going on.
Right. And dude, I will tell you that this race set up, I remember when they took off around the first turn, every horse we talked about being in front was in front.
Yeah.
Somehow they found their footing and they got it. But Sovereignty, Journalism, Beza, Final Gambit, Owen Almighty, Burnham Square, and dude, even Sandman ran a decent race. Anyone else? You don't get nothing from me. Those were the best horses that ran the race the best due to, after I've watched it a few times, didn't see anyone else. Like, Cold Battle just didn't have it. You know, Tistastic didn't have it. You know, none of the Luxor Cafe didn't have it. Chunk of Gold ran horrible. You know, Grande was another horse that we liked. He got scratched, too.
Yeah.
So, Publisher, Mohawk, all those guys. East Avenue, it really set up for these horses that won that were at the top. And they've been at the top of my list the whole time. And, yeah, you didn't get a lot of money, but I've seen Derby.
It's better than losing,
I've
buddy.
Seen Derbies when there's been horses, you know, 5 or worse than 5-2, like, you know.
Well, at least I didn't lose on an inquiry.
Yeah,
again.
Right.
Like, I feel like anytime there's some sort of issue with that, I get screwed.
But I was all pumped up to say kudos and great job for Bill Mott and his horse and everything, right up until all the other horses get into the Preakness and say their horses came through the race great and they're ready to go, they're eating good. and all the things that they say. And then we find out that Bill Mott's horse is doing the same, but he's not going to run it.
Now, let me ask you on this. Is this Bill Mott's decision or is this the owner's decision?
It's one or the other.
Because Bill Mott has apparently raced horses, 18 of them, since the beginning of this year on 2 weeks rest. So I have a hard time. I think he's just maybe falling on the sword for the owners on this one, maybe.
I don't know. I can't imagine any owner that would not want their horse to run the Preakness and go for the Triple Crown. I would think that it's vice versa. That's my guess.
I mean, they're already going to get a lot of money for stud feeds for winning the Derby. If he goes out and runs an awful race in the Preakness, does those
all I'm saying
stud fees
is,
go down at all?
You know what? Stud fees can go kiss somebody's ass.
I'm with you, but these people that are throwing these millions of dollars out at these auctions.
I know, and it's a trend that I'm not like. I don't like a lot of trends in sports right now,
you know,
to be honest with you.
The thing is, like, here's the thing about sports is we've always seen, like, all the old heads are always like, back in my day, everything was so much more physical. I never thought I'd see a horse say to another horse when they're like washed up at the end and say, back in my day, I ran every 2 weeks. You know what I mean? So like this one's going to have to listen to that this whole time in the stable.
Right.
Here's a big piece of that is that, you know, 50, 60, 70, 80 years ago, a lot of these horses were bred completely differently. Mm-hmm. They were bred more for stamina.
And
more
the drug
for
testing wasn't as strict as
that's
it is
true.
Now.
But these horses now are bred strictly for speed.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds me very much of, like, when you look at, like, Cy Young's pitching records from whenever, and he would pitch a million innings a year, mm-hmm. and pitch 18 innings in an extra inning game. And things like that. I feel like that horse racing, if they want to evolve, and this isn't just me, it's something Wayne Lucas said 25 years ago. The way horses are bred now is so much different than from when mm-hmm. the Triple Crown race and schedule were put together, that if they want guaranteed these horses to run in these three Triple Crown races, mm-hmm. they need to change the schedule.
Right. And now, that's easy to
I've got
do.
Two questions for that. If the horses are bred strictly for speed, wouldn't we be seeing more records get broken on some of these speed figures? And they're not.
Well, you weren't going to see it this week because the track was wet.
Well, I'm with you, but like over the course of the last few years, it's not.
Well, I mean.
Yeah, but like.
Well, they're just, I mean, there's no Muhammad Ali that we're ever going to see.
And
there
I'm
ain't
with
no
you there.
Secretariat.
No,
either.
Because,
and I guess.
I mean, Secretariat. Every Derby has been, what, around 2 minutes since 1973.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to throw Secretariat.
And I'm saying I could probably go back and look at all the horses throughout the 80s. At Monarcos in early 2000s, he got it. But, like, that's what I'm saying. Well, that was like 25 years ago.
That was a 95-degree day, hotter than hell.
Yeah, and I just feel like if that's the case, we would see more speed. But, and then another thing is, like, the dates for the Preakness and the Belmont have been moved numerous times. It hasn't always been 2 weeks apart, correct?
I think sometimes it's moved a week
here.
I bet it's not been what Wayne Lucas wanted.
COVID.
What?
Well, no, I'm talking back in the 70s and like 60s.
Here's what
I don't know.
Here's what Wayne Lucas.
I think there was bigger gaps.
Here's what Wayne Lucas proposed, and it sounds like a brilliant idea to me. He wanted the Derby to be ran when the Derby is ran.
Mm-hmm.
And then he wanted the Preakness to be ran the Saturday of Memorial Day weekend.
Okay.
And then he wanted the Belmont to be ran July 4th weekend.
Okay.
And make it the
so
Derby.
So you got a month between each.
So you the got Derby the Derby and the Indy 500 together?
Well, it'd be a Saturday and a Sunday.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and it would be like events, you know, like. Everybody's getting together. The Derby is its own standalone, basically, racing holiday. And then you have Memorial Day and July 4th. And I
just let your fireworks off after the race.
To me, I think that's a great idea.
I'm all for it. And I think you would have higher stakes racing going on in the other races too.
Sure.
You know what I mean? There'd probably be more horses that would, you know, run.
And,
in the,
and yeah, the sure. other, the other thing, and this doesn't have anything to do with why horses don't run there or whatever, but Pimlico is in such dire need of being basically completely revamped.
What's the one being revamped now?
Well, they did a lot of work at Belmont.
Right, right.
Pimlico is still basically falling apart at the seams.
I wish they would have not touched Churchill.
Here's another thing. On top of that, horse racing is like boxing. It needs great things to happen, like the American Pharoah, Justify. I remember American Pharoah was bigger than Justify's Triple Crown.
Well, he was the first one to get it.
In a long time. And but like these horses right now, you know, I mean, you had all the horses dying on the track last year. You had Bob Baffert, the king of horse racing, in trouble with Churchill Downs, the king track of horse racing. Dude, horse racing needs good things to happen. And when Bill Mott or the owners do not put a perfectly sound horse in to run against four of the horses that are running, that ran two and three and four against him, I think it hurts the industry. It hurts horse racing. It's not good for it.
Well, nobody's going to watch the Preakness. I tell you that much. Like, just except for hardcore.
No.
Another thing is journalism, Beza, Sovereignty, Final Gambit. Those horses did not run a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing. D-Wayne Lucas, his horse, he is still hard-headed on where his horse ran nine times.
Mm-hmm.
And he, again, was not up there.
I'm not sure.
The horses that are lightly ran, Beza's real lightly ran.
Is journalism going to run in the Preakness?
Yes. Yes.
I didn't think he was.
No, journalism is in from what I've seen.
Well, that horse has to up his stud fees now.
I know Beza's in.
Beza, same story. But I don't know. I know the producers of the Netflix show Race for the Crown are not happy.
Well, and
no.
I mean, how
selfishly
awful.
I always want the horses, the horse that wins the Derby, you know, as we all are. We love the history piece of it.
You got to make sure they're healthy and sound. But, and if they are, there's no reason
Heard Pat Forty had said that Bill Mott has a now, you said he has 18 horses or whatever that ran on 2 weeks' rest. Mm-hmm. But Pat Forty had said that, I forget what the exact term was. He said he has a history of running his, it wasn't like his A-team horses, but it was something like his top horses, he has a tendency of not running them after. And he had said before the Derby that he thought it was 80% that even if Sovereignty won the Derby, that he would not run in the Preakness. So I don't think this came as like a shock to a lot of people that know. And I don't know what the reasoning is behind that.
I'm telling you what.
I wouldn't pretend to know.
If I own that horse and I'm paying Bill Mott to be my trainer, I'm irate if you're pulling him out. Like, I want him to run.
It almost seems like, don't you think that they would have had to have had that conversation before the Derby?
When he hired him as a trainer, I'm sure that conversation was had.
Unless something crazy happens, even if we win the Derby, I'm not running him in the Preakness, right? Because that's not something that a trainer is just going to drop on him.
And I'm not going to talk out of both sides of my mouth because I'm always talking about the horse racing industry.
Well, you're bringing up good points.
And how awful it is to, you know, the way that some of these horses are treated.
Right.
So I get it. And I'm not going to, you know, but it is like you. I'm a traditionalist when it comes to this Triple Crown. I guess I'm just disappointed that the fact that we're not going to get to see him run in the Preakness.
Yes.
I'm not mad about it. Right. It's just kind of like.
That's exactly, you know, where I'm at. I would always. But I also.
I'd like to know why.
Like you said, and I was listening to the Tom Leach show on the radio the other morning, and he had, is his name Kenny Rice from NBC?
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about the potential. This was before we knew that whether he was running or not. And Kenny Rice, who I respect very much as somebody that's been involved in horse racing and obviously covered the Derby for 100 years, he said that he thinks, and he even said kind of in this way, he said, horse racing is filled with a lot of characters and some people might say unsavory type characters.
No doubt.
He said Bill Mott unequivocally puts the horse's welfare first. And I can't say that about a lot of trainers.
I respect the hell out of that.
And so I feel like, you know, we can all be disappointed, yes. But I'm never going to come out and go, he's ruining the, you know, I get all that.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that have ruined the sport.
But
this probably is not helping the sport, but it's not ruining it. Yeah.
But I do think that a lot of people that are involved in the industry think that Bill Mott is an upstanding guy and really cares about, like, that's what Kenny Rice said. He goes, not every trainer is a horseman, okay? He said, Bill Mott is a horseman. And, you know, I take that for what it's worth.
So moving forward, and any Derby in the future, we're all pulling against Bill Mott.
Yeah.
We like you, Bill. We'll pull for you in all the other races because you're a great guy. But Derby race, we're all against you.
Yeah. Well,
you know,
I would just love to see this start maybe the conversation towards altering the schedule a little
bit. It needs to be based on the based on what's happening with these horses and the stud fees and all that are just out of this world.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing. I mean, geez, I wanted to ask you guys, and I'm
am
sure,
I a stud? Yes.
I'm
Are you
sure
ask me that?
You ain't getting no fees.
I'm sure that you guys probably saw this, but this was the first Kentucky Derby in history where every single starter in the field, their family tree could be traced back to Secretariat.
Wow.
That's insane.
That's cool.
Did you see that?
No.
Every single horse in the field had a connection at some point in their bloodline to
Sounds
Secretariat.
Sounds like Eastern Kentucky.
Oh.
Anyway.
It's a family stick.
And I'm going to end with this. Japan, good luck. Keep trying.
They're going to hone in on this one year.
Because what happens is,
they
have a horse that runs a great race.
There's Vrabel.
But if I had a nickel for every time one of their entries has screwed up someone's trajectory on the track, I'd be rich. I mean, dude, I've never seen horses take other horses out like they have. Rich Strike won the Derby because two of those idiot horses from Japan literally stopped in their tracks. They had no business in the race. So, and then what happened to Burnham Square is a joke. So
maybe they're betting on other horses and training these horses to take others out. Chess and checkers, buddy.
Whatever.
Well, that'll put a lid on the Derby for this year. Actually, I don't think we will, because I forgot to mention at the beginning of the episode, there will be no new episode next week. I will be out of town. So maybe it's good that we don't have a Triple Crown.
We're going on a layoff. We're going on a two-week layoff with the Derby winner.
The Department of Government Efficiency got a hold of us.
That's right. Yeah. So I wanted to get to the NBA playoffs. And specifically, I wanted to get to what the Indiana Pacers have been doing for the since the playoffs really started. Last night was the second time, in this playoff run that I did not actually physically see the end of the game live as it happened. because I was convinced that Indiana was going to get blown out last night. I mean, I know a lot of people have said, well, Cleveland was missing, you know, three players and this and that. Well, but you don't win 60-some-odd games and then lose on your home court in game one and not come out with your best effort in game two. And I fully expected that. I thought Indiana might come out a little flat. They did. The Cavs played great. But I was following the score on my phone, and you know, I saw they were down 20, and yeah, okay, well, we'll get them in game two, or in game three, I'm sorry. And then Colin sent me a text and said, it's getting quiet in that barn. And I looked at the score, and Pacers were down 6. And I said, man, maybe I should go in there and watch the end of this. And then I said, well, I can't do that. If I go in there and turn the game on, they're going to get beat. So I sat out there, and then the next text I got from Colin was, now it's really quiet. And so I went to CBS, and I clicked on the score. Indiana had won by 1 point. I immediately came inside, turned it on, and watched the last, like, 4 minutes of the game. And even though I knew what was going to happen, I knew that Indiana won, I still couldn't believe it. I watched the game again in its entirety this morning. I still can't believe it. Tyrese Haliburton has been, I was telling Tuna before we recorded.
Is he related to Dick Cheney?
A lot of people will have no idea what that means, but I popped for that.
I worked for it.
Haliburton, I saw this stat earlier today. In the last 11 times that he has taken a shot to either tie the game or take the lead on the last possession for the Pacers, he's 10 out of his last 11. 10 out of his last 11.
Oh, that's wild, man.
And the other crazy stat was that before the Bucks, the clinching game with the Pacers Bucks series, and I mentioned this in the intro to last week's episode, that teams prior to that game had been 1-1,602 when behind by 7 or more points with 40 seconds or less left in a playoff game. Well, now they're 3-1,602, and the Pacers have done it twice in a week.
God, I mean, what?
Essentially.
That's lottery ticket type stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
and if you watch that Pacer game last night, there was like 10 different things that had to fall exactly the way that they did. Nembhard, Nesmith, Miles Turner. Pascal Siakam did not have a very good game. As a matter of fact, the two biggest plays of that game last night, like huge plays, were missed foul shots. Siakam missed both of his foul shots, and Nembhard comes in from out of nowhere and dunks it right on Donovan Mitchell's head. Then he forces an offensive foul from Mitchell, who was, by this point in the ball game, completely exhausted.
Yes.
I mean, you want to talk about a guy who they leaned on, and, I mean, my God, he had 48 points last night. And he was doing everything. And by the end of that game, he was completely wiped out. But then Haliburton goes to the line, down 3, hits the first, and then there's some speculation that maybe he missed the second on purpose. I don't believe he did. I think that when he shot it, he knew immediately it was short, and he thought where the ball was going to come off. And Miles Turner,
did you not think he walked to get the rebound?
They don't call that in the NBA anymore.
I personally thought when he got the rebound, he grabbed it, went around. It looked like he took a couple steps before he dribbled it back out to the top of the key.
I watched Dante DiVincenzo. You might need to look at that again. Dude, put the ball in his hand and run the entire half court.
I have watched that play literally, and I'm not exaggerating.
Were you looking for a walk there?
I've watched that play 40 times.
Because when I saw it live, I was like, oh, he walked. And then he comes back out to the top of the key and shoots.
The ball was tipped to him, first of all. He caught it.
And then I thought that he took a couple weird steps to get away from everybody because they were all on him. And then he took off out.
Well, no, that was the thing. Nobody followed him. He caught it, and nobody followed
him.
But
they were in the paint. They were reaching at him. That's why he took off out to the paint.
Well, he took off out there because he knew that he could get TJ or whatever that Howard or whatever that guy's name is.
Well, he also left to get out of chaos right there.
But no.
Okay.
I don't think he walked. I've literally seen.
But I don't think anyone was looking for it too much.
Well, I've even been on, like, Cleveland sites today, and they have been complaining about everything.
Tuna, pull that up.
And I haven't seen anybody even mention the fact that they thought he traveled.
Okay.
It's not walking if you're running, baby.
And it also ain't a travel if the referees don't call it.
That's
so.
Right. By God, I'm wearing my hat. I'm glad he did what he did.
And, I mean, Jesus Christ, if we're going to talk about that, I mean,
Michael Jordan...
Well, I'm not going to get into that with you, but
Reggie.
but no,
it was such a heads up play.
And I mean, the Pacers are really the story of this playoff far.
Can I jump in?
Yeah, please.
Well, I found it interesting. And this is just a stat that I was looking at when I was trying to figure out who's going to win what series. And this is only part of it. Obviously, bench matters significantly in these playoffs. Matter of fact, more than all your guys that are your stars. But I did find it crazy that the Knicks... I went from who averages 15 points or more on every team in the playoffs, what they're averaging in the playoffs. And I thought it was interesting that the Cavs have players averaging 84 points per game from four people that average 15 or more. The Knicks, 85. But surprisingly, the Pacers are one of the lowest teams. At 69, and I'm just saying that the bench of the Pacers, it really impresses me. I mean, how deep do they go, Travis? Good Lord. I mean, they go down to...
That's the thing, because in the playoffs, it's traditional for teams to tighten their rotation, right?
Right.
And not to play as many guys. What the Pacers do, and I think... Carlisle, it's got to drive him crazy sometimes because he sticks with basically the same rotation that they run in the regular season. And sometimes that second and 2.5 group doesn't necessarily, they may be getting beat at that time. But what it ends up happening is the Pacers almost always in the playoffs have somebody fresher than the guy that's guarding them is. And
right.
I think Eric Montross just got a dunk.
Jesus. I mean, I knew Boston was going to come out, but I thought the Knicks would. But no, you're right, Travis. They are very impressive. I think that
And it's kind of crazy that this second round of the playoffs so far, I mean, it looks like Boston's going to win at home tonight. Won't this be the first home team to win in the second round of the playoffs so far?
Yes, because the Nuggets beat the Thunder, you all beat the Cavs, the Knicks beat the Celtics.
T-Wolves lost.
And the T-Wolves lost.
Yeah.
Another funny thing is on that average, which they're all fairly close except for, the Warriors, their average... 42. So this team is beating the T-Wolves at the T-Wolves with their best scorers averaging 42 a game, and they didn't even have Steph Curry yesterday, last night. You want to talk about a shit the bed last night?
I'll be honest with you.
Literally shit the bed.
I haven't heard Buddy Hield's name since before game 7 of that Rockets game. Since he was a Boomer Sooner.
That's right.
Like, was he been something in the NBA, or did he just pop up out of nowhere?
No, been a great role player.
Okay, see, I didn't know.
Got a nice contract, then, and he's just hitting, and he's found his niche.
Okay.
He's on a good teams, playoff teams now, and he's hitting the three, baby. He's one of them players that just gets hot.
Now, let me ask you this.
He's saving their ass.
Minnesota, are they typically a good shooting team?
You know what? I don't think so. Because
they've got, they seem so big and physical whenever I've seen them play. Right. They don't look like they have a lot of shooters out there. No,
like Ant Edwards is not a great shooter. He's a streaky shooter.
I like him because, and I kind of like Minnesota because they play defense, but they made it tough to play against that small lineup.
But Randall's horrible. He can't shoot. McDaniels can get hot. He's a streaky guy. But for the most part, no.
Okay.
But that was embarrassing. Their loss was more embarrassing than it. Now, we know what the Celtics did.
Yeah, missed him. That guy looks like
shooting all those threes. That's been talked about all day. Shooting 31 threes and rushed and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not worried about the Celtics. They're going to come out and play. But if they do have a tough matchup with the Knicks, I'm going to tell you right now, the Knicks and the Pacers can easily win these series.
God, I'd love
to
see that matchup.
Me too.
I mean, dude, you're looking at the Cavs. They have 84 from four scores. Three of them two of them are out. Ty Jerome averages 17 in the playoffs. But when you got Garland and Mobley out and their defensive stopper, it's amazing to me that the Warriors won that game with their players out, and there's an excuse for the Cavs. They're all in street clothes, but I think whether those players are playing or not, the way Indiana's playing, to look out. And how about the Nuggets?
Yeah,
dude, Nuggets Thunder. Jokic, are you kidding me? 40 and 20, like,
that's
really
crazy.
40 and 20 and hit that three. Then he fouls out. And, man, I'm telling you, they're just – I mean, I swear to God, Sean Sutton's coaching both of those teams. Is that Sean Sutton coaching both those teams?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I've seen him with his gold chain on. I've seen him without it.
It's Brad Calipari.
But, dude, the Knicks steal and choke. Nuggets, a steal, and a choke on that game. It's unbelievable to me what is going on in these playoffs.
And, I mean,
and they're great. These playoffs are great to watch.
It's been pretty, like it always is. I mean, you can say what. And here's the thing. I was thinking about this earlier today. Of course, I was driving around listening to all the Pacers reaction from Indianapolis radio and stuff, and they had a Spiro Dides who called the game Spiro last night, and he was talking about, he was like, well, I mean, the Pacers aren't your typical four seed, and because of this, and I started thinking, has the NBA regular season and where these teams are seeded ever meant less than it does now because of load management and guys taking nights off and this and that and everything? Some of these teams, pretty much every team, didn't necessarily play full strength the way that they used to all the time.
Right.
So how do you really know how much better, say, the Cavs are than the, and I mean, Golden State's seventh seed, for crying out loud.
Right.
I mean,
but they have role players really stepping up.
Has there ever been a seven seed with more talent and experience, championship experience, than Golden State right now?
Right.
I don't think so. But they're a seven seed, and by God, they get in the playoffs, and everybody's playing, and well, every night they're playing.
And they just went through like a physical seven-game series with Houston, and they come right back into the team that had rest with Minnesota.
And win without Curry.
And they looked like the young, spry team.
I mean,
Curry
was out the first 8 minutes of the game.
Mm-hmm.
It blows me away.
But NBA playoffs have been
as a better.
My thing, like, is Draymond Green just like, does he walk into, like, I don't understand. Is everybody just scared of this dude? Like, because he does things and these guys do not do anything back to him.
No,
and I'm like, there is no other sport where I can watch one guy just completely punk everybody out on the court. Well, like, at all times.
Yeah,
like
Dennis Rodman did it for a while when he got older.
Yeah, but there were some guys that would, like, buck up to Rodman.
They
and
got
and
away
stuff like
with
that.
A lot of
Jordan
stuff.
Jordan wouldn't put up with that
no.
shit if he thought it was hurting the team. I thought about that today. I saw a video, an old video of John Starks. This is in, like, even this was the beginning of the Pacers-Knicks rivalry. You won't remember it, Tuna, but you may have seen it on highlights. Do you remember seeing a highlight of John Starks headbutting Reggie?
No.
I remember that.
Okay. No. So, John Starks, they're running up the court. Reggie was young. This was in like 92, 93-ish. Mm. And Reggie's running his yapper like he always did. And they're running up the court, and John Starks just headbutts him. And Reggie, of course, completely over-exaggerates.
Falls down
and like flops
back.
He looked
like a wet noodle.
Soccer player. Yeah.
But, They
from
kick
Peru.
They kick Starks out of the game. Charles Oakley and Patrick Ewing are ready to kill John Starks.
Those
like
are two
like
dudes
ready,
you do not mess
like
with.
Literally ready to kill him. Linda Cohn was doing the highlight package that I saw, and she was like, she said something. This isn't something you see every day. It looks like these two guys want to take their own teammate in the locker room and give him the business or whatever.
Yeah.
But you're right. Like
Draymond Green has raised the bar of working these refs and other players so much.
But like
that it's
Kerr doesn't even – like you would think Kerr would be like –
Dude, he's I think he's lost
garbage,
control of him.
You pull this garbage and cost us – and honestly, Draymond should have – been kicked out of a couple of these
games.
Oh,
my God.
Already.
The last
and
one.
He had
to
drop kick the one dude and throw.
Oh, my God. It was insane.
But anyway, I just didn't – like, I feel like he would be getting in a fight every game if this was – another
and
sport
and
or some
somehow
sort. Yeah.
Keeps him in the game. It's – I don't know how he does
He's
it.
A lot – we'll touch on it when we get to talking about hockey, but there's a comparison there.
All right. Well, that's a perfect segue because I was going to say, while the NBA playoffs have been tremendous must-see TV every night, man, so have the NHL playoffs. As you guys know, I mean, Tuna's a big hockey guy. I got into it during the tournament earlier this year, but I've always enjoyed playoff hockey. I'm pretty sure Fred is in the same boat.
I watched the Blues game, that insane ending.
I've really made a point to watch as many of these NHL games as I can, especially when it gets to a game seven. I mean, there's nothing better. But, Tuna, how good have these playoffs been?
I think the best thing that I've heard, and I'm going to quote Ryan Whitney. I heard him talk about this, and he said his exact words were, "Who needs drugs when you have hockey playoffs?"
Right.
I mean, this is every night is just insanity. Like, I've seen more overtimes, more just everything is just so intense, and we're getting it all. Like,
the only thing we don't have is we can't go to a game.
Yeah, we
God,
can.
God, I want to go to a hockey
we
game.
We can fly out, direct flight right into Raleigh and catch the Canes Caps.
Dude.
You know what I mean? But I'm trying to think who else is close. No, that's about it. But there is a comparison here with Draymond Green, and I don't know if you guys are familiar with Tom Wilson.
The Weatherman?
The only Thomas Wilson I know is Biff from Back to the Future.
Tom Wilson, right wing for the Caps. He is an absolute menace. Like, this guy, and like nobody...
Like, in a sport full of absolute menaces.
No, he is the alpha of alphas in the sport. And his teammate is Ovi, you know what I mean?
Oh,
so
right.
Like last night, he pulls a... He just takes a dude's mouthpiece out of his mouth and then puts it back in. And, like, there's nothing you can do about it. You're like, well, all right. Like, I guess that's how it is.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, me neither. And, like, he just...
I want to see it, actually.
Yeah, no, he's nuts, man. And I think, like, because last night in the Caps Hurricane series, which is just... I think this series is going to... All these series right now are going to be electric. But this Caps Hurricanes, you have two completely different styles, man. You've got the size from the Capitals that are just physical and beat the shit out
right.
of them. And then the Canes are these small finesse guys that are all about speed. And I was curious how this was going to go in this series because there is just a complete like mismatch. And what it was, when they were playing full ice, I gave advantage to the Canes because of the speed. And that, I swear, I think they took probably 5,000 shots on goal last night. I've never seen anything like it. And that's kind of what they do. But, I mean, it was just the worst shot selection I've ever seen. They're like, we're going to throw every shot possible at the goalie and hopefully something goes. Well, it ended up going to overtime. But the thing is when it whenever there was a power play and you're playing at half ice, the Canes couldn't get anything going at all. It was like they were scared to move the puck, and these four dudes were just going to lay you out. And it was like they were better on these breakaways on full ice, but when you turn it into a half ice game. So if I'm the Caps, I'm just going to say, screw it, guys. Let's stay in the penalty box. Let's play this whole game with four dudes and just see what happens.
I just saw Tom Wilson take his did mouthpiece you watch that? Out. Oh, my God.
That was awesome, man.
That's hilarious.
Dude.
Unbelievable.
The red, he's skating down the thing with it, and the ref's like, give him back his mouthpiece. And he had to skate back his hair.
Yeah, man. It was but that's going on. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a little nervous here because, you know, I'm Team USA when it comes to this. I want to keep
too.
The cup in America.
Golden Knights.
I think Canada, our brothers up north, have as good of a shot as they've ever had to get this thing.
I was talking to Martin about it. He's a big hockey guy.
Yeah.
And he we got to keep it in the USA, baby.
We've got right now.
Canadians that listen to the show from
the
Saskatchewan.
Saskatoon. So the Jets, Winnipeg Jets, and the Dallas Stars are in a series right now. And this one's going to be a blast. It already was. That one went to overtime in game one.
Right.
The Stars ended up eking that one out. But the Jets, I don't know if, like, Travis and I were talking about this outside. If you haven't watched a Jets home playoff hockey game yet, you got to tune in for that. Like, what they do with, like, the Jet holograms on the ice, the Jet flying around the arena on the inside, like, the hologram thing. It's like the old Shark at UNLV. Yeah, Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Everything up there, the atmosphere, all these Canadian barns are just awesome where they're having these. Like Edmonton, we seen that last year when they were in the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
You know, the girl flashing everybody.
Yeah.
Like, it was just insanity.
I'm all in on Winnipeg.
I had
no rooting interest in the game. I just wanted to watch the game.
Mm-hmm.
And after I saw the pregame and all that stuff, I was ready to buy a jersey. I mean, I was all in on Winnipeg. And then they were getting blown out early. And I really, again, kind of gave up on the game and went, it was fun. But, man, it's kind of sucks for these fans that they had this great atmosphere. And then the way the game ended,
my God. What was it, 1.6 seconds, the goal comes rolling across the line.
Unbelievable.
Insanity.
Unbelievable,
yeah.
Dude.
I mean...
That play was crazy.
Yeah. And I think that even scored the over of the 5.5 on the betting of the over, too.
Yeah,
so, like, it was a lot of stuff going on in that game. But betting on hockey, by the way, is probably not that I ever have. But it's like
I bet on it every. I bet on it every day.
Doing cocaine on a jet ski.
I've been betting on it every day.
That's the only way I could think.
Well, I
like,
keep it simple. I go through, and the team that I think's hotter in this next game, I normally like the underdog at home if they're at home and they're getting the. And I'm only doing money line. There's too many crazy things to look at. I don't even understand. So I just go money line, and I bet three of them for like $10. To win 90, and I've hit a couple.
Yeah,
baseball I can't hit one.
Yeah,
but keep going.
But yeah, so Travis, I'd be careful saying you're all in on the Jets because if they get through the Stars,
well,
in the series,
I know they've
got your Golden Knights.
I know
if they get past the Oilers.
Yep,
which that's going to be a blast of a series, also.
Right.
And then so that's the Western Conference right there, and I'm with you. I would love to see a Golden Knights Jets
matchup. Man. That'd be awesome.
I'm going to be honest, I'm kind of pulling for the Stars a little bit. There's some stuff in there. Honestly, the West is wide open. Any team in here can win this thing. Really, everything's wide open in hockey. You never know. But and then let's go down to the Eastern Conference where we've got – all right, what has it been since 19 – what – since the Maple Leafs have won a Stanley Cup.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
This is, they're like, just to put this in comparison, they're kind of like the Dallas Cowboys of the NHL.
Like the Yankees.
Yeah. Like I got the Maple Leafs tonight.
Well, I compare them more to the Dallas Cowboys and thinking like their fans think they're going to win it every year.
Right.
And they never do.
Right.
So that aspect of it.
But they're one of the major.
Yeah,
maybe them and Edmonton. Maybe as far as
Montreal, Canadians. Yeah, that's a big one up there, especially since you got rid of.
It's probably those
the
two.
Quebec Nordiques.
Probably those two are the big, the national brands of Canada.
And, you know, Toronto has a lot of fans in the States.
Sure,
they're big,
sure.
You know, they're one of the original six, so on. But, no, they're in a battle right now with the reigning two-time back-to-back Stanley Cup champs, Florida Panthers, which we know what kind of nightmare they are to deal with.
Right.
And then they acquired, right at the trade deadline, Marchand from Boston.
Yes, yes.
So, like, he comes
He's
down
a
there.
Stud.
So, you got finesse with all these, like, you know, powerful physical beings that they've had for a while. The big problem that I'm seeing out of them right now is the guy, the unsung hero of last year, Sergei Bobrovsky, their goalie. He's been struggling, man. He's given up a lot of goals here. Like, last year, he was just pitching shutouts throughout the playoffs. You know, he was standing on his head the whole time. Hold on just a second. But yeah, that's going on right now. Maple Leafs, they lost their goalie last night. He's supposed to just be out one game. He left on a stretcher. Don't know. It's hockey.
You never really know.
One of my favorite pastimes is the day after the NHL's over with and you start hearing about all the injuries that the hockey players had. Like this dude's missing like 8 ribs and he played through it. Like, you know, this guy got his foot cut off and they just, you know, put a boot on him and sent him out. And it's like, it's wild. And then, like we touched on it earlier, that series is going on right now in the Eastern. And then you got the Caps and the Canes. I touched on that being the, you know, the matchup nightmare. Like, I think all of these have potential for 7 games, but either way, if they don't, all of them are just going to be a blast. Every game so far has just been fun as hell. So, I beat the hell out of this dead horse over and over again. We've got to figure out something. Like, you guys talk about moving the Belmont and the Preakness. We need to figure out a way that we can enjoy playoff NBA and playoff NHL at the same time. I hate having to choose NHL every night. I'd like to watch some of these NBA games so I can get included on your all's basketball conversations.
Now,
but
what I have been doing a lot, and this is – if you have YouTube TV, they've been doing the multi-sport box of hockey and basketball.
Yeah, and so I can't.
I've been doing that a lot, and I'll just you know, when the hockey game's good, I'll put the audio on that, and but then I can keep an eye on the basketball. Mm-hmm. So you're not really necessarily watching both games per se, but you're kind of keeping an eye on the other one. So I've been doing that quite a bit. And
yeah, the hockey commentary is my favorite because it's so intense, and it sucks you into the game. So I think what I'm going to start doing is, and I mentioned this, is like with the NBA playoffs, I think I'm going to wait till there's 8 minutes left in the game, and then I'm just going to put it on and watch the last 8 minutes because it doesn't matter if you're down by 30 points. You can come back and win with 8 minutes.
That's right.
So that's how I'm going to start watching that. But I feel, man, we've got to figure something out here. I know there's no way around it. I know we've mentioned before NBA should put the season starting on Christmas Day back, you know.
Right.
And then that way we could end the playoffs leading right into football season.
Right.
How awesome would that be?
I would love that.
Yeah, I think it'll never happen, but, man, it'd be nice to have that happen. So that is your hockey wrap-up.
Dude, great hockey wrap-up. I'm psyched. And you know what pisses me off? I'm a Blackhawks fan. I have a Philly Flyers jersey in my garage, too, and I can't wear either one of them. And I got a Guns N' Roses hockey jersey that I think I'm going to start sporting.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah,
oh,
that
baby.
I'm going to wear. A lot of hockey people in Germantown.
Oh, I'll tell you right now, we just found out today that the Utah Hockey Club.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Oh, you changed their name.
They got a name. And I like the name, but there was a missed opportunity
here. The Mammoth?
Here. They are the Mammoth. And I'm a little, you look at the design, and it's kind of cool. It's got the mountains from Salt Lake City
the
right
side
there.
Of it's like a ramp. Like, it's got the Mammoth.
Well, And that's,
tusks.
I feel like this was a little bit of a play on the Nashville Predators, which I don't really like. They took the prehistoric animal of the saber-toothed tiger and made their own the mammoth, and it's got with the big tusks coming out.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of similar looking. I don't really like it. The Yeti, the Utah Yeti, I think would have been one of the best hockey names ever.
I thought it'd been cool.
That, I mean, I probably would have bought a Yeti jersey if that was a thing. It probably would have cost me $800 like a cooler. But anyway,
well, I'm a Golden Knights closet fan.
The jerseys look like they might be kind of cool. The Golden Knights are neat. Like, they've got nice jersey. Get you a Preds jersey. Get you a Smashville jersey.
since we went to Vegas and we went in that hockey shop and everything, I'm kind of since the Blackhawks can't get on track, we need Chris Chelios back.
You know what you could get if you were a Preds fan?
And a lot of people, and yes, Chris Chelios is a Blackhawk, not a Red Wing.
Yeah, yes. Well, that's a debatable. But
or a Penguin, for that matter. Oh, no, that was Paul Coffey.
Yeah.
Paul Coffey was a Penguin.
But if you was a Preds fan, you could get a stuffed catfish that says Nashville Predators. You can't do that with any other
team.
Damn.
Yeah,
yep, right. You're screwed.
Well, I got a squid at home.
Yeah, there you go. The Canes are a fun team, man. That's kind of who
this guy.
That's who I'm rooting for here.
This guy, this coach. These coaches that play look like they're ready to just bend someone's face back.
That's awesome. We will definitely be getting more and more into the NHL playoffs as the season goes on.
This guy, Tuna.
We have been.
Look like Scotty Davenport. It's like badass older brother.
It's like their shirt collars don't even go around their necks. They
no.
can't tie.
Why
tie.
Would they?
We have obviously didn't have a full show last week. I wanted to at least briefly touch on the NFL draft. I talked about it last week where Tuna pretty much called it right down the line how it was going to go. And Tuna, I wanted to just kind of get your thoughts, anything that really stuck out. We don't have to spend a lot of time on it because it's now well in the rearview mirror, but kind of wanted to get your thoughts. And you knew that Shedeur Sanders was going to fall way down the list.
Mm-hmm. And that wasn't like a Nostradamus type thing.
But,
that was like a.
Did you think, even when you were talking about that, that he would fall where as far as he did.
If you was to tell me that Dylan Gabriel would get drafted before him,
right,
and then the team that drafted Dylan Gabriel
right
would also draft Shedeur Sanders, I would have told you he was a crazy person.
Yeah.
And I want to say this.
And that's a full-fledged battle now.
I honestly believe. I know, Fred, your thoughts on Shedeur. I think he can play in the league. I honestly believe he has the talent. If he, this may have humbled him a little bit.
Well, it should better have.
And like, he can, if he gets in, and I know Cleveland's a bad place for this, but if he has somebody to just really work with him and like straighten him out and just give him time, I think that he actually could be a good quarterback in the NFL. I really do. Dylan Gabriel, I don't. He's a tiny little person.
Little bitty. He's a little Lord Doug Flutie.
So, yeah. But he, I don't see it with him.
Little Dougie Gabriel. Yeah.
I do think Shedeur could, I know, like, it, I don't know. Hopefully it works out for him because nothing against the kid. I think, I mean, just imagine, put yourself, like everybody's judgment, put yourself growing up in his shoes. Everything's going to be a little different. But he really does have talent. I thought the Colts, Travis, had an excellent draft.
Very good.
The fact Tyler Warren falling down to them.
Dude.
Man, that feels a huge
need. Tight end pickup.
Yep.
Penn State.
Absolutely. Other than that, man, there's really no major surprises. Jacksonville trading up and trading a lot to get Travis Hunter.
A lot.
I thought that was kind of wild.
I feel like this is Liam Cohen, new head coach there, saying, like, okay, I need to make some big splash of some sort.
It, dude.
But
I don't know.
They had a weird draft. All in all, I don't really know what to expect from the Jags this year that would be any different than we've gotten from the Jags.
Was that
a
pickup to get excitement in the stadium or something again?
I mean,
this dude ain't no Bo Jackson.
No,
dude.
But there's definitely a, like Tuna said, there's a splashiness factor. I think that the new head coach coming in probably was like, you know, we need to build a little, cause you know, his hiring and his introductory press conference was a little underwhelming and awkward. Maybe, you know, we get some positive momentum going here by getting a guy that everybody knows. And, man, he can play both ways. It's going to be cool.
Well, I'm going to
tell
you.
Come out the stadium and watch this guy play both ways.
Travis Hunter's a great kid. I think he's a good dude. I wish him the best, but I don't think he's going to really maximize into much. I hate to say this.
I'm going
to
say this.
He is not going to have a better career than Champ Bailey.
No. Champ Bailey came in and he played both sides, but he was predominantly a corner.
But right, and he stuck with it. He's in the Hall of Fame.
I think what we're going to see with Travis Hunter is that he is going to...
He's a little bitty fart.
I think he's going to play wide receiver at first. He's going to sit in that wide receiver room and learn that wide receiver playbook, learn every single route, learn everybody on offense, learn all the coaches on offense before he even sees defense, which will probably be in year two. And then year two, they may be able to use him in certain packages on both.
See, I thought he was going to go in there and be strictly defense, and then maybe they will ease him into offense and punt returns.
Liam Cohen is an offensive guy.
I think he's going to be a punt returner for sure.
Well, they'll do that, but Liam Cohen's an offensive guy, and he sees a weapon that he can use somehow. One guy they did get was that Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt, and they got him in like the seventh. He was that badass running back from, I believe it was New Mexico State, that transferred to Arizona. He played the one game, and then he had the eligibility issues and didn't get to play. Like, some people think that he may be, aside from Ashton Jeanty, one of the top running backs in this draft. He fell all the way down to the seventh. He could be one of those Isaiah Pacheco seventh-round studs.
I thought the Raiders did well.
The Raiders did actually draft well, which I found surprising.
I also like the Green Bay wide receiver pickup.
Do you? I don't like any receiver in this draft, but it could work out. Yeah. You never know.
What about Milroe?
Yeah, he's just one of those guys we'll forget his name in a few years. Jihad Campbell, your other guy, like going to Philadelphia. Dude, that's a great home for him.
Oh my God, that's gonna be a great home for him.
Other than that, man, like it's like we said, like this draft was quoted. It's got a bunch of starters and no real stars. Like a couple stars. Like you're gonna have, you know, Ashton Jeanty could be a star. Travis Hunter maybe. I don't know. Abdul Carter, so on. But like, there's really nothing spectacular here. Is what it is, man. Next year, the draft will be in Pittsburgh, which I think is going to be kind of cool.
Yeah, that'll
and
be
then
neat.
The year after that, Travis, I know you're going to love this. It's in Washington, D.C.
I saw that.
And like kind of the preview mock-up of what it's going to look
like. Yeah, they're
going
to do it
down
on the National Mall, it looked like.
Yep.
Yeah, that'll be crazy.
Yep. That's about it with the NFL draft. Nothing crazy, nothing sexy.
Yep.
Just a bunch of dudes.
Yep, it pretty much went. I think almost exactly as you foretold on the podcast. I do want to remind everybody that we are on social media. I know I'm not always great about updating, but I do try if there's interesting things with horse racing, with the picks, and some sort of funny videos or anything. I do try to keep that updated best I can. If you enjoy the show, please tell a friend. I've gotten some pretty neat feedback over Derby weekend from some people I didn't really know that were friends of friends of friends who said they enjoy the show. Just got a nice text tonight from somebody who said that they've been enjoying the show. They just recently found out about it. So that's how the show will grow. If you like it, let somebody else know if you think that they might enjoy it as well. With all that being said, we've got a little bit of time here at the end of the show. And we are in at least what used to be the downstairs pub. It's a little bit still discombobulated to a certain extent because of the water issues we had down here. But we do still have the bar. I am still the de facto bartender tonight, and so I'm going to call last call, and I'm going to go to Tuna first with last call.
All right, man, I got a bunch of crap because I wasn't here last week,
Excellent. And
I've got stuff building up, and I've got time to talk
about
it.
Yes, you do. I can't wait.
So today, I wake up at 4:30 in the morning, guys. Like, my alarm goes off. My brain's not functioning right every morning. I usually look and see the first thing is my phone. And I look to see what the news of the day is. And the first thing that I seen, this was the headline.
Go ahead.
The first headline that I see is local police find raccoon with meth pipe in its mouth during an arrest.
I saw that. It's a great picture, by the
Nothing
way.
Nothing is better than, like, this is better than coffee for waking up.
Oh.
Like, I immediately hopped up and had to be like, what in the hell's going on? So I guess in Springfield Township, Ohio, a woman was pulled over, I think for expired tags, whatever. They found out she was driving on a bad license, so they got her out of the car. The cop walks back up to the car, and there's a raccoon in there holding a meth pipe.
And they got a picture
they,
of
they,
it.
Well, yeah, I mean, you see that. You got to take a picture. So they come to find out, this is this lady's pet. Raccoon, what's his name? He had a name. What's the name? I feel like this is important. Chewy.
Rocky?
Chewy. Oh, no, it was
that's
Chewy.
Beautiful.
She
was going to call him Smokey.
She did not have up-to-date tags on her car or a valid driver's license, but she did have the appropriate paperwork to own a pet raccoon. So that was on the up and up. Well, the raccoon Chewy sold her up the river. Chewy seen the cops coming. He freaked out and was like, I got meth.
Yeah.
And
took her
so, like, so they come to find out that there was three other meth pipes in the truck. So they're in the car. So Chewy sold his owner up the river. So I guess if we're going to take any lesson from this, it's if you're going to do meth, don't get a raccoon.
Don't.
Yeah.
Or don't get one that's gonna rat you out so quick.
Yeah,
exactly.
Don't get a traitor.
Like, yeah. Gotta be it was a Kaiser Sose. But anyway, that's it on that. And then second is, I know everybody in this room grew up being taught that there were 9 planets when we made our solar systems. And
yes,
in our science fair,
my favorite,
there was 9 planets.
Yes,
that we had.
You had to get 9 styrofoam balls.
At some point along the line, after we became adults, they just said, "Pluto, you're no longer a planet." And they took
that
it
was
away.
That was roughly around 15 years ago. I
okay,
believe.
There you go. So
it's a dwarf planet,
right.
Which I don't like that.
It's very cold there.
Yeah. Well, I'd say so.
Far from the sun.
Well, apparently scientists have found out that we do have a 9th planet. They have discovered a planet so far out in the galaxy that it apparently only orbits the sun every 10 to 20,000 years.
So it's really cold.
So it's way out there. I don't think they've named it yet, but I am lobbying for Pluto to be named, so we get Pluto back in the solar system.
I am damn near ready for that one. Yeah.
So I'd like solar systems to get back to what they were in our primes.
Okay.
And then third, Freddie, I know that you are a big Oscars guy, and I know that you probably love
a past thespian,
the movie Conclave.
Yes.
All right. So you know that there is a conclave happening right now.
Indeed.
Yes.
Okay.
I know of that, but...
Well, sir, I have betting odds on the next Pope.
Okay. This is why you come to the
blockout.
Have
you seen Conclave?
I have not.
Okay.
No, I'm an ENC Catholic, so I may watch it on either Easter or Christmas.
I want to see the movie. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, I thought you just said you have.
No, I have not. No, I have seen what is happening. I saw what happened to the Pope.
Okay.
But I have not seen the movie.
We're going to do a fantasy...
fantasy Pope draft?
Fantasy Pope draft. We each get one, winner take all.
Okay.
If it doesn't get in, we wait till the next conclave.
Okay, okay.
So... the betting odds
what's
favorite
up with the black smoke rising
that that's means, when they choose
the,
a pope
yep. Okay on the papal
the black yeah. smoke
papal.
Came,
papal
the black smoke
I
came out
papal.
Came out today that means they did not pick
right,
a pope
they did not
the
pick
white
a pope.
Smoke means they have
they
yes
have
that is correct
pope.
That is very
that's
correct.
All the background anybody needs on that
yes
all right
well I'm in over the Vatican
is there a John a Pope John in the field.
Not yet.
Okay.
But after they become Pope, they change
their
name.
Right.
So there may be a John in the field yet. He is just undercover. So right now, the betting odds favorite is Pietro Parolin at plus 225.
Didn't he coach a USA American soccer team?
He did, yes.
Is he
did.
From Italy?
He is Italian.
Okay.
He is Italian. And then coming up next at plus 300 is a Philippines papal candidate,
yeah,
Luis Antonio Tagle.
That's not
okay.
Which I don't think I like that name enough no. to be a pope, but he's going to change it probably to John or Francis.
No.
And then we have at plus 450, Matteo Zuppi. He is another Italian. And then plus 500, this is Freddie's guy, I can tell you right now. Pier Battista Pisabala.
Okay. He's from Spain?
He is from Italy.
Oh.
I'm seeing a trend here. And then this one gets me from Ghana. Peter Turkson at plus 600. And then we have Robert Salah from Guinea.
What?
The
I
head
know
coach
Robert
from the
Salah.
He used yeah. to coach the New York Jets.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah.
So this is what Aaron Rodgers does
oh
to you.
God.
You yeah. spend some time with Aaron yeah. Rodgers, he will turn you into a Pope candidate. So, who are you guys taking?
I am taking the Ghanaian. Is that the
Peter Turkson
yep.
is from Ghana.
Yep. I'm taking him. I'm taking Peter Turkson.
All right.
I am taking...
You're taking Pizzaballa.
Pizzaballa Papada.
Okay. That's you?
If there is no one from Spain, then I'm taking him.
Mm-hmm.
There's
no one from Spain. I'm going to go with another Italian here, Matteo Zuppi.
Okay.
All right. So write those down. Right. I want the spelling correct.
We've got our picks. Our picks are in.
Picks are in. We're all putting $10 on it. Winner take all.
I love it. I love it. Fred, last call.
Wanted to let some of our soccer people know that the Champions League final has been set. That is May 31st in Munich, Germany. My Barcelona team was beaten by my second favorite team, Inter.
Internacional.
Internacional. Thank you. My favorite player going right now in the world, Lautaro Martinez, scored a goal. A lot of the Brazilians have been playing really good that are on some of these teams. Rapinho. Remember the name Rapinho, folks. I am really on the, now that Messi and some of these guys are gone.
Started vitamin water, right?
You know what I mean? Now that these, what? Now that these guys are gone, like what? All the big soccer stars, there's going to be a whole new allotment of soccer stars.
Like a new generation.
Rolling in.
Yamal.
The best of the best. Lamine Yamal had a great game in that 3-2 battle that they lost. Danny Olmo, who is just simply, what do they say about Chris Carter? Catches touchdown passes. Danny Olmo for Spain scores soccer goals.
Okay.
Uh-oh,
this fight.
The game's over.
Oh, they won?
The Knicks went on a...
Oh, my God.
The Knicks...
Ike is going to have a heart attack.
The Knicks went on like a 23-2
They were down 20.
Oh, no.
To end the game.
What is going on with these sporting
events? Oh, my God. We got to rewind that. This is live. You're hearing live.
Sorry, folks, but that was a live reaction to the Knicks winning.
Take that, Jimmy Jamal.
Is playing PSG. Say, what's PSG stand for?
Pierre Saint-Germain.
There you go. And we cannot wait for that game. Pulling for Lautaro Martinez. The goal scorer, as he is called, Zebul, in Argentina. So wanted to let you know about that. And that my St. Louis Battlehawks, Kaká, have moved up in the odds and are now third at plus 250. I'm happy to know that.
My defenders have hit a little bit of a rough patch.
Well, they're still at the top.
Dude, the Celtics are... I don't know if you've ever seen stunned, but that arena right now is stunned.
Beantown.
What were you saying about about the defenders? They are still at the top.
They're at the top. They're at the top of the XFL division of the UFL. But are they? Wait a minute. They are top of the XFL. So you've got a bunch of 3-3 teams and a bunch of 4-2 teams.
Right.
And we're coming into, like, I think there's 4 more weeks left of the regular season. So it's getting crunch time right now. And I know that we say this all the time, and there actually has been some pretty good football to watch.
I agree.
The problem is that, like, we are in, like, sports overload right now with everything going on. And as much as I love the XFL, it's not appointment television like some of this other stuff.
I did make a point to watch some of the Defenders game last week, but there was like 7 other things on that flipping around to. And I honestly then got caught up in 2 or 3 other things and kind of forgot about the football game. And by the time I flipped it over, it was already over.
It's crazy. And also, 107 days till college football starts.
Awesome. Fred, you have anything else for last call?
No, I'm good.
All right. I just want to mention really quickly that if you are a longtime listener of this show, you know that the month of May to me means the Indianapolis 500. That will be getting going in earnest here very soon. Fred is actually going to attend the race with me this year. Very much looking forward to that. I think Colin is going to try to come up for a day of qualifications. We will be delving into the 500 when I get back from vacation. Want to thank everybody for listening. Remind everybody that if you enjoy the show, please tell a friend, and also remind you that there will not be a new episode next week, but we will be back 2 weeks from tonight to record the latest episode of the show. So
I've got one more thing that talk about. This has to be discussed because we can't do it in a couple weeks.
Okay.
The Battle for the Bluegrass. That's the annual rivalry between Louisville and Kentucky.
That's what I meant to bring
it
up.
It was announced today, the date that game will be played. And this game is typically somewhere around Christmas and New Year's, right around that time frame.
Been on fantastic Saturdays, Sundays.
It's always kind of the closeout of the non-conference play before you start conference play.
And football's is
over.
Yeah, you got bowl games going on, then that's that game. So it was announced today that this game this year will be played on November 11th. Which college basketball will be starting a week earlier than it normally does this year. It'll be going on November 3rd is the first week. So this has potential to be the second game for each team of the season. I hate this. I think it's terrible.
It's really weird.
And it's on a freaking Tuesday.
Yeah.
Like,
Big Tuesday, suck it.
Yeah. A lot of people are saying that ESPN steered this and – because they're trying to showcase college basketball for that Tuesday night and that Wednesday night because there will be no football on those nights because you'll have Monday night football and Thursday night football.
Right.
So they're trying to load up as much college basketball on that Tuesday as Wednesday, and they're trying to make this Louisville-Kentucky a marquee game that people will watch. I hate it. I could care less if anybody nationally talks about the Louisville or Kentucky game.
Yeah.
I don't care. I don't need the Duke North Carolina buildup. This is us.
I think this is a 1 year experiment.
It has to be. I think there's going to be so much pushback. The only thing I could think of is that the ACC had this thing set up now where schools are going to start getting paid on revenue from television ratings.
Right.
So some teams are going to make more than others.
I gotcha.
I'm saying that ESPN may approach Louisville because we're hosting it this year and was like, we'll write you a big old fat check if you do this. Josh Hurd probably agreed to it, but
I would love to know what the real backstory is, because there certainly is, and you're right. I mean, just in the immediate announcement of it today, there was so much talk about it on social media.
Yeah.
Even on our text threads, people started going, what in the world is going on?
There's not one person that I've spoken to or heard
from who thinks it's a good idea.
Who is happy about this. I don't know. And I'm guaranteeing you, because they do this with Kentucky, because Kentucky gets such good ratings. They always put Kentucky on as the late 9 o'clock tip off.
Oh, yeah. It'll be 9 o'clock on Tuesday.
This will be
night.
A 9 o'clock tip off on Tuesday night, and it's crap. But anyway, you got plenty of time to put in for the next day off work.
That's right.
And that day is Veterans Day, so you may or may not be working that day regardless.
Right.
But anyway, and then also, that's going to be a hell of a week because Louisville plays Clemson in football that Friday night here at Papa John's Cardinal Stadium. So. Anyway, but I wanted to bring that up because that sucks.
I'm glad you did. Don't forget, we will not be here next week. We will be back with you again 2 weeks from tonight. we will have, obviously, a lot of stuff to cover at that point. For the big fellow, the Tuna Country, Matt Kemp, and the fabulous one, Freddie Benders, this is Travis Carter saying... So long, everybody.